Hello, my name is David Junk, and you're listening to the Art During Wartime podcast. Today, our guest is a singer, songwriter, and impressive English teacher, Tumazar, otherwise known as Nazar Tumanik. Hello, Nazar. How are you doing?
Hi, David. I'm just great. What about you?
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for joining our podcast. Really grateful. I'd like to start by asking you, is Kyiv your hometown?
Yep. I was born in Mykolaiv, but I live in Kyiv.
And you live in Kyiv now, today, correct?
Yep.
At what age did you become interested in music?
I think that everything started from singing. And like the first thing that comes to my mind is as soon as I started producing some sounds, I realized that I want to sing, and I just remember this thing that when I was extremely young, I took a bath, and my mother, she was afraid that I could suffocate and drown, and she said that I have to make some kind of noise so she knows that I'm alive. Yeah, so like reciting poetry or something like this. Yeah, and I started singing Shakira's songs. Yeah, and she was like, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, and actually I received it not only from my mother, but from my father as well, because we were always listening to some kind of music, great music like the Beatles. Yeah, and I loved the song about the Yellow Submarine.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I think that it comes from my childhood.
So your family encouraged you to pursue a music career?
I wouldn't say that they like encouraged me, but you know, they were always supportive of my decisions, and they always wanted me to become an independent person. They always wanted me to be decisive, and they just allowed me to do whatever I want to do. So like if I want to become a pole dancer or a wrestler or a chemist, they are okay with it. Yeah, and they just supported me, and I love it so much. And this is great because, you know, like you feel freedom and you're allowed to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's great. That probably helped you in your music career, freedom.
Yeah, it does.
Do you remember the first song you wrote?
You know, I was 15 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and I remember this song, and it was like the first time I faced the reality of music production, and it was extremely difficult because I couldn't distinguish bass line from, I don't know, pads and etc. And it was really challenging for me. Yeah. And like, you know, it was really difficult for me, but just I overcame this obstacle, and now I'm here, and I'm really glad that I didn't stop. And this song, yeah, it was about like my separation from my parents, and it was called Hide. It is called Hide, but I haven't released it yet.
Was it in English?
Yep.
So your very first song you wrote in English. That's incredible.
Yep, I did.
Now, you're a chemist by training. I have to ask, what's your formula for a great song?
You know, if you just want to create a good song, like maybe even a great one, you just need to stick to the rules. Like you just go find yourself a recipe and stick to the rules. But if you want to create something unique, something specific, you just need to be a daredevil. You just need to take a risk. You just need to break the rules. Because, you know, like when it comes to discovering an element, there are no rules for discovering an element. You just need to be a little crazy. But if you want just create some kind of product that is well known and sure your audience will like it and they need it to, like, I don't know, some kind of drugs or medicines. You just need to stick to the rules and just find this balance, like not too upbeat, not too noisy, not too, I don't know, dull. So that's it.
That's amazing. Did you study chemistry for very long? Were you trained to be a chemist?
Yeah, like 4 years at university. I'm an analytical chemist.
That's incredible. Does it help you write songs? Does it have any influence on your songwriting?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Just that, like, might be a bit of a stretch.
Wasted years, yeah.
Really? But you probably wrote a lot of music while you were in school, right? When you were studying, I imagine.
Yeah, I did, but, you know, I wasn't sure that I can become a part of music industry at that time, because, you know, like, if you want to be a part of music industry, you need to have so many stars. You need to have so many stars to align at the same time. You need to be rich, young, talented, persuasive, stubborn, yada, yada, yada. So I just thought at that time that it was impossible for me. But right now, you know, just we have TikTok, we have algorithms. So I just think that it's okay right now to pursue.
What music bands or artists influenced your sound?
I'll be honest, I don't think that, like, my inspiration comes from music bands or artists, because, like, for one of my biggest bangers, July, the inspiration came from a condom. Yeah, so...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, I can get inspired by events, just like live events, by some items, things, people. So at that time, I was just looking at this condom and just like stretching it, thinking, oh my God, it is so thin, but it is, it just does protect. And I don't know, but I associated this process with some, I don't know, feelings, like relationships, trust, love. And I thought about the limit, that there is always a limit, and after crossing it, everything crumbles. And I just don't know why, but this condom, that it gave me this kind of influence for writing the song July. Yeah. And so that's it. I think that getting inspired by some kind of items or your life events, it's more interesting than being inspired by someone else who creates music.
And I saw the video and the song for Rings of Saturn. What's this song about?
It's about sadness. The song is about, like, a human being recognizing that it's time to let someone go. Yeah. So it's about some kind of my deep insecurities. So it's a difficult song. I wouldn't say that it's like funny or something like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was your inspiration for the song?
If I'm not mistaken, like, it was a dull day, like fog everywhere. And that's it. I just felt this vibe and I started writing song. You know, like, for me, it's really easy to come up with an idea and then to write lyrics in 3 hours, like melodies and etc. But then it will take like 2 months to make it sound great, like all this music production. It's really difficult. But just, like, you know, for me to come up with an idea, it's really easy.
I think it's great you wrote and recorded the song with lyrics in English. Why did you do that?
You know, I just love English. I love studying languages. And actually, I love American culture. I love the way you talk about the US. I love the way you represent your culture. And I think that it influenced me. So maybe that's the main reason.
What's been the reaction by your fans to singing in English?
Like, they were okay with it, definitely. Yeah, and like, you know, it's really difficult to promote this kind of music in Ukraine because people, they still just like, they have some kind of questions, like, what is your song about, and etc. But like, you know, I created a channel for this purpose, yeah, to let them know all this stuff. So I became an English teacher to explain them my songs.
Oh, that's incredible. So that's the we're going to get to your English teaching here in a minute, but you're saying that's the reason you started teaching English was because your fans wanted to understand what your lyrics were about. Is that correct?
Yeah, like my friends, my followers, yeah, just random people. Not only my friends.
That is so interesting. Is singing in English important to your career plans, including America?
You know, I realize that it's really difficult out there. And I don't think that my product is good enough right now for the US. I'm just being honest with myself. Yeah, but actually, I would like to try, and I think that in the near future, I will try to launch my product out there in the US.
So you plan to continue writing your music, recording your music in English?
Sure. I love it so much.
Now, is it hard to get a song, an English song from a Ukrainian artist on the radio in Ukraine or on TV? Is that a challenge if you're a Ukrainian artist singing in English?
Yeah, you know, it's a little challenging, but right now, as I mentioned before, we have TikTok, we have algorithms, and it's enough for you to be a successful artist.
Are you one of the few artists in the country who sing in English?
No, we have many of them. Like Tvorchi, the band that represented us this year.
Vision, yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Hard Kiss, they started their career singing English songs. Yeah, so like we have many of them.
Yeah. Sure. Have you been recording while the war has been going on? Have you been continuing to record and write music?
Sure. I don't want to give up. I don't want to quit. I don't want to stop because, you know, I just realized that I can still feel the life going on through making music, through creating some kind of content. It makes me feel alive.
Has it been challenging to be in the recording studio in these times?
You know, I cannot say that it is really challenging. I'm just really happy that I'm still able to do what I love to do. And I'm really grateful to Ukrainian armed forces that they provided me with an opportunity to live my ordinary civilian life.
That's incredible. Also, in your ordinary civilian life, you are an extremely talented linguist.
And thanks so much.
You told us how you got your start. Can you describe a little bit more how you started learning English?
Oh, yeah, like, I've been interested in studying languages since my childhood. And, you know, I was just listening to some American songs, and then I was just like, what the hell is she singing about? And then my mom, she was really educated and encouraged to explain me some stuff that I didn't know. She always translated songs with me. Just
did she speak English too?
She's fluent.
Oh wow!
Her husband. So my stepfather, he's from Denmark, and they speak fluent English out there. So yeah, I practiced with him as well. Yeah, and my mother, she's like, she has this strong Ukrainian accent, but I love it so much, and she's really confident. Like, you know, being confident is the key.
So did you quickly pick up English? Was it a challenge for you, or were you fluent very quickly?
Like, no, I wouldn't say that I became fluent very fast. It's just a lot of routine work to be done. So like my result isn't like something that was given by the Lord or something like this. It's just like a lot of exercises done. Yeah, a lot of routine work that I didn't love.
Do you speak any other languages?
Right now I'm studying Chinese.
Really?
Yeah. And it's
not
just
easy,
like
I'm
crazy.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not easy at all. Like, you know, they have these four tones. Maybe you've heard about them. So like the first is like ma 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 ma, and they have even the fifth one, it's a bit shorter, it's a neutral tone. Yeah, and it's really difficult to remember these words because you just need to remember not the order of the letters, but you need to remember like the melody. So like, I don't know, for example, right now I'm going to show there are two words like eyes and glasses. So the first one would be yan qing and the second one would be yan qing. So like you just need to push it down like yan qing. So that's the only difference between, yeah, those words. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah. And I mix them all the time, those tones, but I just hope and I pray that Chinese people understand me. Yeah, but it's not the most difficult stuff. The most difficult one is like writing their characters. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible because, like, you know, you just need to remember the order of the lines. Yeah, and when it comes to writing in cursive, I understand nothing at all. I just feel like I need to call the police so they help me to decipher everything because it looks like just two different pictures for me.
Now, I've been told you are the most popular English teacher in Ukraine. How does it feel to be called that?
Okay, just like, disclaimer, I don't want to self-proclaim myself as the most popular English teacher. And like, you know, me being popular, it doesn't mean that I'm the best one and that my knowledge is great. But thank you so much. Yeah. And at the same time, I love it so much that I'm able to contact with my audience. And I just love it when they come, when they start chatting with me. Yeah, and we've got some small talk. Yeah, and I give them a lot of energy, but I receive it back, definitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the hardest thing about English for your students to get?
I think that the most difficult thing, like... if we do not talk about grammar, is finding a goal. So like if you want to be a successful like a native speaker, you just need to find a goal, definitely, because your brain is clever enough to understand that if you don't need this language, you can just sabotage everything, that will be fine. So I think that there is a great way. You just need to go find yourself an English-speaking blogger, or, I don't know, a band from the US, your favorite band from the US, or a boyfriend from Australia, a husband from Australia, because then you will just feel that you want to say, you just want to be in touch with this person. You just need to get closer to them. Yeah, and then you will just, it will encourage you to do a lot of routine work, and this is necessary.
Tell us about your students. Why are they studying English? What is their main goal?
You know, right now we have a lot of refugees, Ukrainian refugees, and they just simply need English, basic English, to survive in Europe, to be able to contact, to work, and etc. So I think that right now this is like the main reason they study English.
Mm. Do a lot of them follow you on TikTok?
Yeah, I think that almost everyone.
Of the Ukrainian refugee community?
Maybe. I just want to believe so.
And so you're helping them to adjust to their lives in these foreign countries, where it must be very hard for them for many reasons, including language. So that's one thing you're helping them with.
Yeah, I want to believe so.
That's incredible. Some researchers say that only 1% of Ukrainians have fluent English. If you were Minister of Education, what would you do to change that?
You know, I realized that it's really easy to come up with crazy ideas like plans. I'm going to change the system. But yeah, it's really difficult to come, but it's really difficult to make it come true. I realize it. But at the same time, maybe we can just I think that we just need to get a little closer to you, to your culture, and we need to understand that, like, for example, each school might have a native speaker, and then students, they realize that they need English to contact with another person, and that would just encourage them to study it. Maybe some kind of exchanging programs. Maybe what else? Maybe we should also consider the way we teach our teachers. So, like,
really? What do you mean by that?
Like finding new approaches of teaching our teachers. That's actually what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're more empowered to teach English better. You're saying that the quality of the teaching needs to improve.
Yeah, there is always room for improvement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you, I watched your TikTok videos, and I must say I'm really impressed. You perfectly nail an American accent. Congratulations. Did you watch a lot of Hollywood films?
Yeah, I do. I perpetually watch a lot of different videos, like YouTube videos, series, and etc. I love them. I watch them only in English, sometimes even without subtitles.
And that's how you learn the American accent?
Yeah. And then I just try to play along.
Is that right? Can you also do the British accent?
Yeah, I would never. It's too difficult for me. Just like,
you really nail the American one.
A bottle of water. a bottle of water, that's it. But a bottle of water, a bottle of water. But I don't know. It's just crazy. No, I can't.
Sometimes I can't understand, especially if I'm talking to a Scottish person. It can be really challenging, even though we're both speaking English. People often say English is a very convenient language for writing music. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I think that English is pretty smooth. And maybe this is because of reduction, like you reduce some vowel sounds in English, so you don't have to pronounce each of them. Like it's 80% of vowels, they would sound like a schwa sound, yeah? So, and in this case, it's not like in Ukrainian or Italian or Spanish languages where I have to pronounce each vowel sound. So like, I don't know, president, yeah? So e-e-e, but in English, it's like president, more like this. And it helps your melody glide, so it just keeps your melody smooth, and I think that's the reason. So it's more like but not like something like this.
So it's easier to write in English.
I don't think that it's easier to write, but the melody sounds better because it's so smooth, like. So for Ukrainians, sometimes English sounds like, but not like.
I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you are able to put those sounds together. That's incredible.
R sound like. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, we can't do that in English.
Yeah.
Very well. We just don't have that ability.
Yeah, and you know, in Chinese, they have this kind of sound. I'll just try. So it's like. But. Yeah, it's really difficult to pronounce it because we don't have something like this in English or Ukrainian. It's just like, yeah.
Well, I'd like to ask you about your mindset when you're writing songs, because that's very interesting in the creative process. When you are at your saddest or in your deepest period of doubt, what keeps you going?
I'll be honest, I do not allow myself to dive too deep into sadness or doubts, because I know that it's bad. And like that, you just need to understand the root reason why you need to just feel a lot of doubts. You just want to feel sadness and etc. Sometimes for me, it's when I overwork or underwork. And like, you know, I communicate with people a lot. And you know, you can have just one day, you can have just this rush of energy. And after it, you can just be always like at your maximum. And your system, your body, it needs to relax. So it just like ups and downs. And when it comes to my downs, I just accept them. I just realize that if I need to cry, I just need to cry. If I need to watch videos, whatever I want to do, yeah, I'll just do it. And that's it. I just accept. I just accept this period of time. Yeah, and maybe actually a good tool is finding yourself a shrink. Yeah, so.
What do you mean by that?
Like a therapist. So
yeah,
you just sometimes you do not realize why are you so sad. Yeah, you're just like, you know, I have my ups and downs. It's like roller coaster like system. Yeah, and then therapists, they can explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you just feel your, you just realize your thoughts, you just understand your feelings, your needs, and you understand that, like, sadness, it's a feeling and you need to accept it and there's nothing wrong about it.
When you are in the studio creating music, how do you feel the flow? Do you have any rituals for your creative process?
I think that just a cup of coffee is something that that always inspires me. I'm a little addicted to coffee, to energy.
Me too. Yeah, I understand.
And in Ukraine, you know, we have really developed this kind of hipsterish culture of coffee shops and etc. And they are just great. And I really like the process of brewing my cup of coffee, like smelling it, like finding some notes, aftertaste. And it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite cafe that you regularly frequent?
Yeah, and just next to my apartment.
And that's where you get your morning coffee?
Yeah, yeah. And I spent so much money.
I couldn't survive without morning coffee. Don't you feel that the tempo of life is increasing? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I feel that it's just accelerating. And, you know, before I postponed everything, because, like, you know, you always have these, how do we call it, like, side benefits. Yeah, so I'm just like, I don't want to become a popular person because you have to be responsible. You will have just a lot of money and then someone will kill you or something like this. Yeah, you will need to work every day without just like weekends, yada, yada, yada. But then, like, when you just accept those benefits, yeah, and you realize, then you think about the things that you really want. Yeah, and then I realized that I really want to become a popular person. I want to have influence. Yeah, and I started doing everything that I wanted, that I postponed before.
How do you balance your productivity with quality? And do you have any advice for creative people?
I think that you just need to work hard and work hard than just... And that's it, actually. I think that that's the key. You just need to work, and sometimes you just need to stop and realize if there's something you're doing wrong or not, and then just keep going. That's it. Just keep swimming, keep going. That's the thing. And, like, you know, if you, the quantity, how to say this, like, the quantity will flow into quality. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I understand that. Do you? I'd like to talk about the war for a moment and how that has affected your life. Olya, do you need to change the camera?
No,
keep going? Okay.
Yes. Okay. We can move on. Yes.
Very good, because I got a note. Okay. So, Nazar, I'd like to ask you about February 24th, 2022. Where were you on that day and what do you remember?
I was at my friend's apartment, and then at 6 a.m. my mother called me and she said that the war had started. And, you know, I had always been afraid of hearing something like this. But at that time, I felt nothing, just like I felt numb, and that's it. So I decided to pack up and go through the city to see her, my mom. Yeah, and when I just went outside, it was extremely ominous, like deadly silence, some random people carrying weapons. And at that point, I felt like I'm a part of a horror movie. Yeah. And I just thought, why hadn't I been living the way I wanted before? Yeah. And the very next day, and a plane crashed right next to my mom's country house. Yeah. And you just wake up at 4 a.m., if I'm not mistaken, and like the sky is glowing like it's daytime. And the bang is extremely loud. Yeah. And you just feel so vulnerable.
How does the war affect your work?
You know, I became more productive. Yeah. So I decided that from that point, I will only do things that I love and that I like. I allowed myself to accept myself, actually, like my imperfections. Yeah. And it's like a shocking therapy. So, you know, at that point, I realized that the life is too short. And I just, yeah, and I just started enjoying like basic human needs. I started enjoying basic human joys. Mm-hmm. I started experiencing my life.
Everyone talks about reevaluating values. What has changed in you since the war started?
You know, as we are being honest in here, I will be honest with you. So I think that I have become more dogmatic, more dogmatic, tougher, more selfish. So that's it. Because, like, you know, the war brings nothing but death and frustration, devastation. So, like, when you're scared, it's really difficult to keep calm. And the main thing here is to save your humanity, to save your human feelings. And the thing is that, like, you know, I'd like to emphasize in here that there is always someone responsible for this stuff. And, like, Ukrainians becoming tougher, it's not like about Ukrainians, it's about Russia that invaded our homeland and they brought this war. So that's the root reason. So they are responsible for decaying of our culture, of our society. Unfortunately, it is what it is. So I can say that the war brought something bad. The war brought something good, some good changes.
Many people are surprised that life goes on in Ukraine and in Kyiv. What do you feel has changed in the city?
You know, I feel them because war is not something what I thought it would be. So, like, war, the real war is different for civilians, for politicians, for refugees. And, like, I heard that some people, they're like, they have the war going on in Ukraine, so why are they laughing? Why are they drinking alcohol and etc.? But the war, like, it doesn't mean that our basic human needs are canceled, and we still need to laugh, we still need to love, we still need to see our friends, chatting, experiencing like good emotions, bad, like, sure, there are no bad emotions, but like experiencing everything to stay strong. Because if you're in a constant grief, it's really difficult to keep it up, even just to wake up in the morning. But we need not only to wake up in the mornings, but we need to support each other. We need to stay strong and fight back. So that's it. Like, it's okay to laugh during the war time.
What will you do when the war is over?
You know, I can think outside the box right now, because I understand that actually, like, I just want to enjoy this very moment. I just want to enjoy my life right now, because I understand that the war might not be over during my lifetime. That's what it is. Yeah. And I just want to...
You think it'll go on for years and years? And...
No one knows, actually. Like, no one knows. And I just don't want to... I just want to be ready for it. And I just want to live my life right now, like, experiencing it, like, through actions rather than bad thoughts and some invisible hope.
How do you imagine Victory Day? What will that be like?
You know, like, still, I see it as the Victory Day of Ukrainian people over Russia is a day of sorrow and joy at the same time, because we will still have just millions of Ukrainians killed. Like, a part of our culture will be eliminated. Yeah, and that's a big reason for sorrow and grief. And at the same time, the positive side, the good side, is that we will stop being killed, and yeah, and those who survive, they will celebrate. That's what it
is. That's fantastic. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You are master of English and a student of American culture, so I need to ask you a few questions about America. I'd love to know, who are some of the artists, musicians that you admire in America?
Oh my God, I just love your pop culture. It's so iconic. I love pop artists like The Weeknd, Doja Cat, who else? Like Pharrell Williams, Lizzo. I love all of them. I just, yeah, that's it. I love them.
You named it Lizzo's hip hop. Do you like American hip hop?
I love it. I love it. You know, like, my next song, it will be a little hip hop-ish. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. It influenced me.
If there was something that Americans don't know about Ukraine now already, what would you suggest to them that they learn about?
I think that the main thing is that we are not a part of Russia, and we never were a part of Russia. And that's maybe the main agenda. So, Like, that's the main point that I want to emphasize. And that our culture and our people, they are so interesting. And when the war is over and we win, I just would love a lot of Americans to come and see our homeland and experience being here in Ukraine, because it's just incredible. Even right now, during wartime, I understand that I love it being here.
I believe there will be many opportunities for Ukrainians and Americans to create music and film and all kinds of culture together.
Yeah.
After
yeah,
the I war, hope so. There'll be, an explosion of projects, like many collaborations. And
yeah, I hope so.
Really an interesting time. I would say you're a real strong patriot for your country. You are really proud of Ukraine. Tell me, what is it Ukraine fighting for? Why is Ukrainian culture important to fight for?
I'm proud of our culture, our customs, our art, our people. Like, they are amazing. They are so kind and they are extremely talented. Yeah. And, you know, like, our culture, our language is, by the way, extremely beautiful. I love it so much. So I just want this beauty to survive.
As a linguist, language is obviously your world. You're an expert on that. Why is it so important that the Ukrainian language not only survive but grow and prosper? I know not everyone is fluent in Ukrainian in Ukraine, which is something strange for us in the West to understand. But can you explain the importance of Ukrainian language and how it hasn't been as developed over the years as it should have been?
Actually, it's pretty obvious. It's because of Russia. They bullied our language. They just tried to mock at everything that is considered Ukrainian. Like, we are a small, little, useless brother. Yeah, and they just try to erase this language, so it's comfortable for them. That just it's because of Russia, because, like, Ukrainians, they speak Ukrainian, and, you know, after the war started, a lot of people, they started speaking Ukrainian. They know it, but the thing is that when you understand that something can be erased completely and eliminated, you just start to cherish it. Yeah. And then you just want to save it.
Nazar, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. You're a real special talent. I think you have a real connection to Ukrainian youth, and you have a fantastic ability to teach English, and I think that's doing a tremendous service, not just in Ukraine, but, like you said, to the refugee community in Europe, and you're really helping them cope with this very difficult period. So I want to thank you for all that you do, and thank you for appearing with us on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity of being a part of this show. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. So we've been with the artist Tu Mazar, and it's been the podcast Art During Wartime. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.